Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today. Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to Hot Ass Med Crimes.
It is approximately 48 million degrees outside
in
the
Northeast.
We are on the
temperature of the sun.
The surface of the sun, are we?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Hot Ass Med Crimes.
Really, it's just like 100, but
we're being very whiny about it.
For us, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And that's that.
That is literally it. I have some Patreons.
We love Patreons.
Okay, so we have Mads. Hey, Mads.
Mads?
Yeah.
Is that like Madison?
I don't know.
It's
right
mystery.
Now, all I have is Mads.
Mads about you.
I think let's freaking celebrate Mads. I also have Savannah Theodore. Thank you for sending the pronunciation of your name.
I love
Savannah
it. Oh,
Theodore.
God, we love when you do that. It's so helpful.
That is a mwah chef kiss. You are the best. Jamie Richards.
Jamie. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. Gosh, this is amazing.
And you guys have done so great bearing with me through me picking creatures that are all just in books that I am currently reading. And I'm going to do it again because that's just where my head's at.
That's what her life is.
That's what my life is now. So,
except I just added to your life, but we'll get there.
You did. We'll get there too. I've been reading the Fourth Wing series. I am late to the party. I know. But you guys, you three that just joined our Patreon are Irids. And Irids are not just any dragon. They are a fucking fancy, powerful, awesome dragon that is, first of all, ultra powerful, and second of all, can change colors. And that's about all I know right now, so don't spoil it for me. Ha!
You're the beginning of the Irids.
I'm at the beginning of the
Irids.
You are
what she knows of the Irids.
Yes, that's all I know.
I love that you have told me for a long time that you never had time to read, and now you're reading. Because of me, but yet you still have not read the book that I told you to read 2 years ago.
I know. Isn't that ridiculous? I'm the worst.
You're a bad friend.
I really am.
So also, Kate and I are deciding that we're getting older and we need adult activities.
Yep.
Which actually, that sounds bad. I think that I'll just phrase that. However, we both have been given the gift of a book nook.
Yes.
Anyone else hear of those things?
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
Isn't it amazing?
I can't wait to finish mine. It's a little greenhouse with like little shovels and little
you
plants.
You gave me a bookstore.
I did.
And mine was done. I think I spent like a weekend putting it together here or there. But like once I started, I didn't want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have adult paint by number.
They do.
And we're about to dive into that.
I just feel like we are exercising our minds. We are reading books.
We are
crafting.
We're working on our dexterity with the paint by number soon.
We are not
going to. Stability.
We are decreasing our chances of developing dementia as we age.
Yep.
Okay.
And all other things.
We are flexing our brain
muscles. Probably get
muscles.
A run in the here or there.
A physical exercise would be great. I've clearly fallen off the bandwagon there. Yep. Physical exercise is
key.
We got
to remember that too. We're keeping it real here, folks, in the basement.
Paint by numbers is great, though.
We're keeping it real.
Yep. We're keeping it real. We really are. We love you guys so much. I can't wait to dive into part two. I've been thinking about this.
Yeah, what you been thinking about?
I've just been thinking about the craziness of everything. And somebody reached out to me on Instagram and told me that they knew someone who's had adopted their twins, I believe, from this lady, Georgia Tan.
Oh, there was a celebrity. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, which I'm going to mention.
But it was somebody she knew personally.
Oh, she knew personally?
That got a set of
twins. Yeah. Oh, wild. No kidding.
Yep. Wow. And then other people have reached out too about that celebrity. So I think I know who it is now. And other people have reached out saying like, oh, my father knew this, knew these people that adopted
her.
Well,
I mean, I think the scope is just so wild, you know, and like, it's all based in Memphis, Tennessee, but then it went on for so long and going from New York to California, and it's just like, it's just expanded.
It's wild. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. So just a quick recap of part one. We've been discussing Georgia Tan, who was the American social worker turned baby thief.
Yes.
And let me tell you, she did not care for those babies either when she did take them and those young children. Many of them died from the poor health conditions of the orphanage that they were living in. Many of them were stolen from their parents, either by being told that they were born stillbirth at birth, or that they were stolen. So, and then this spanned over decades. So that was our quick little recap. We went into much further detail that you can get, you know, listen to in part one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to wrap it up
today. Like you said, just like the zero care that these babies must have gotten, like in her care, nobody was taking care of these babies. Nobody Correct. Was like looking after them, and the amount of them that died and just were like gravely injured. Like,
I mean, it was hundreds. It was hundreds of children that, yeah. I mean, she stole thousands.
Mm-hmm.
She stole thousands of children and placed them into other homes at massive price gouging, you know, and doing things. No, I want to say illegally, but there were also not laws created around this at that time. So it wasn't necessarily legal, but definitely like unethical and immoral.
So did some like legislature get changed because of her specifically?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And also some things did stay.
Oh, wow. As
well. Like it's just, it's I don't want to say baffles me, but it's like, you hear about some things and, you know, just media stories, books, whatever. And, you know, these crazy stories. And I did not realize that at the center of it was Georgia Tan. You know what I mean? I mentioned in part one, the book Before We Were Yours. I read it a few years ago. I want to say I loved the book, hated the story.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
That's because it centered around this whole entire situation. Mm-hmm. That was a fictional part of it, where it obviously came from something true. But so... that was kind of like a brief, quick recap. Sorry, I was losing my train of thought.
No, I appreciate it.
We discussed a lot in part one how Georgia was inflating a lot of the adoption prices to the rich families. We discussed how she wanted, why the thought of you're poor, you're going to be a terrible parent. We need to take these children from you and put them into a wealthy home.
Mm-hmm.
When many of them were physically abused, sexually abused, and not placed with good families.
Mm-hmm.
While the Tennessee Children's Society at that point in time did receive some state funds, most of the revenue for that society at that time that Georgia took in as profit was coming from the private families. It's reported, that she ended up having like a secret bank account, almost like an offshore account.
Oh, to hide all those funds.
Yeah, and it was under a false corporate name. It's alleged that she pocketed about 80 to 90% of the fees from those adoptions from the personal use. Yeah, and she did not report it to the IRS.
And then the rest of that was paying her cooperating parties there.
So she was headed for a boatload of trouble.
For sure. Right?
I mean, you've got all of these issues, and then now you're getting into...
tax fraud, tax evasion, whatever.
Woo. Let's see. In 1979, there was an interview done. So Robert Taylor was the prosecutor that I had mentioned in part one, and he's mentioned a lot here just because he was part of the whole investigation. So he had done an interview with the Los Angeles Times, and he reported that about approximately 1,200 children were adopted out of the home between 1944 and 1950. That's only just 6 years.
Wow.
1,200. So 200 kids a year. And only a few of them actually stayed with families that were in Tennessee. So just the scope that we mentioned is just like they're going everywhere.
That's wild that I just still cannot wrap my head around how many people were involved and mm-hmm. and the scope and the length of time this was allowed to continue.
Almost 30 years. Like, it spanned across three decades. It was about 25 years in total. Yeah.
And it's like, this is,
and now many of the you know, I'm about to mention some like notable names and whatnot, mm-hmm. but it's important to note that like they didn't know
mm-hmm.
how illegal this was.
They did not know
that they were stolen.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
So like, sense.
You know, it's certainly important and obviously, you know, horrified yes. down the line and whatnot. Yeah. But there was a lot of famous people that did wow. adopt through her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who she was also targeting.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the most known one is Joan Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I mentioned her in the beginning yep. because she did adopt twin daughters.
Yes.
So I was surprised, like when mm-hmm. you said, I thought you were just talking about Joan, but
mm-hmm.
so her daughters, Kathy and Cynthia, were adopted through the agency. So Joan Crawford had in total adopted four children. Kathy and Cynthia were adopted through the agency, but she had a daughter, Christina and Christopher, and they were adopted through other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully none that were as notorious as
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, seriously.
Betty Davis and Marlon Brando are also some popular names of
wow,
folks that had
okay.
adopted through there. Yes. Was signed in 1935. The New York governor, Herbert Lehman, signed a law sealing birth certificates from New York adoptees and also adopted a child. He also adopted a child through the agency. So you have the governor of New York at that time. He signed a law at the same time. And so this is like definitely like a conflict of interest. He had adopted through the agency and then signed into law about sealing the birth certificates.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Again, sealing the birth certificates, not so much like, eh. Because I get that.
No,
However, almost at the same time that you're adopting, and it's also from a sketchy
agency.
It
seems like interesting.
Right. It's just
timing.
Like a little like,
My question too is that like, did anyone notice when they received their adoptive children? Like, were there, you know, physical, there had to have been physical signs of neglect?
For some of them, there certainly were.
Okay.
But I think also, in one of the books that I'll kind of mention at the end, a lot of things were done for show. As
oh.
far as like, you know, so like they might not have been taken, the families might not have been taken to the orphanage. Like Georgia and her staff would choose a child for this family.
Right.
And
then
present
them.
Wash them up, best dressed clothes, bring them to them, appearing, you know,
yeah.
and the children would be so afraid of repercussions if they did
oh
not,
my God,
if they
so
did
sad.
Not like, quote unquote,
perform
well
oh my
for
God.
That essential interview of being adopted by family.
Mm.
And then some didn't care because they were sent to work on a farm or they were sent to be a worker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Georgia did destroy records of the children who were processed through the society, and she only conducted minimal background checks on the adoptive homes. Because of this, so also with a lot of the records destroyed, they didn't have accurate identities of who the children were beforehand.
Right.
Now, mind you, we're not just talking about newborns; we're talking about children,
right.
like some of them
like
school-age
kids.
Children. So, and she's like wiping out their identity and. The only thing you have to go off after a certain point in time is just those child's memories of who they think they are.
The trauma.
Right. Exactly.
Of their treatment. Like, that
and if
makes
they're
it
in the orphanage
so
for a year going through all sorts of, you know, environmental, physical.
I mean, orphanages
torture.
Couldn't. I mean, we've heard about what happened in orphanages around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not puppies and rainbows mm-hmm. in those places.
So because of a lot of the unethical practices about destroying records and doing minimal background checks, the Child Welfare League of America dropped the Tennessee Children's Society from its list of qualifying institutions in 1941.
Okay.
So basically, it's kind of like any other thing. You have your credentials, whatever, you know what I mean? Like you have your licenses and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. And so they were not following what they were supposed to, so they dropped them as a qualifying institution for adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I previously mentioned, a lot of these files for the children were fictionalized before being presented to the adopted parents. And it really covered up the circumstances while being placed with this coming from the society,
mm-hmm.
which is just so crazy.
Yeah.
And the children, I mean, they were so afraid whether they were going to be starved for days
oh my
or beaten
God.
If they did not you know, if they really said, no, I was taken from a playground, like, I have a mom, blah, 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 you know.
So they'd be punished if they, like, repeated how they got there, said anything about their past. Jesus.
For some of the adopted parents, when some of them discovered that the information that they had on the child was incorrect, even with some of the stuff about, like, falsified medical records for the children, Georgia would often threaten the adoptive parents with possible legal action that would face the surrender of their children. So, like, she was just making things up of just, like, if you do this, I'm going to do this. Yes, exactly.
God.
They were also, and again, because of the realm of powerful people that she had behind her to do this operation, it made it seem legit to people that
were
unknowing.
Very intimidating.
Right? It's made it seem like legit for people that were unknowing. Mm-hmm. So they were, a lot of her threats were fulfilled with the aid of Shelby County Family Court Judge Camille Kelly, who we also talked about in part one. She used her position of authority to sanction all of her tactics and activities. Georgia would identify children as being from homes that could not provide their care, and Kelly would push the matter through her dockets. So she would just, like, yep, here you go, signed, sealed, delivered. She also, they would, this judge would also sever custody of divorced mothers, placing the children with Tan, who then arranged for the adoption of the children into homes that were could better provide. So she was doing not only backing up the threats, but also, like, releasing of the custody from the parents.
Okay.
One of the most notable cases that came out of this of, like, a real life story is from a woman named Alma Simple. So she was a single mother, twice divorced. She was soon to be married to her newborn child. She had a newborn baby girl and another son.
Okay.
Her son was from one of her previous marriages, but again, newly divorced. She was going to be, she was engaged to the newborn baby's father, but they weren't quite married.
Okay.
And so she had moved to Memphis with her two children at the time that she first encountered Georgia Tan. So it was in Memphis that Alma and her two children settled into an oil-heated one-room apartment. So they were in a very small little place. She had a pull-out sofa for her son to sleep on, and then her baby girl would sleep in the crib right next to her. It was such a small space. Shortly, they were not there very long.
Okay.
It was only about 6 weeks after that she moved to Memphis with her two kids that a woman from the Memphis, Tennessee Children's Home Society came to her apartment building. Only 6 weeks. And she was saying that she was there investigating an alleged child abuse case involving a neighbor. So somehow they got wind that this young mother's living in a very small space, single, two children. The following day, this woman returned back in a big black limousine, and she was having a conversation with Alma, asking her questions about the whereabouts of the baby's father. She would then look at Irma, who she would look at. So her baby at the time, her name was Irma at the time. So she would look at her baby. She's like, she has a runny nose. Your baby's sick, right? You should get her. You should get her a checkup. And then, of course, Alma's like, I have no money for a doctor. Yeah. So she's like, I can't take her.
Yeah.
So this lovely woman.
Oh, my God.
Guess what her name was?
Don't even.
Her name was Georgia Tan.
Oh, my God.
Generously, so very nicely offered.
I'll take her to the doctor.
She so offered to take her daughter to the doctor.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This woman is such a predator. It's disgusting.
Now, we'll kind of get later on. So, like, of course, years later, like, we're talking years later when almost doing an interview, she's like, of course, I feel completely naive. Like, why did I do this? She's like, how did I mess this up? Like, how was I so dumb to just give this woman my child?
Oh, my God.
But again, she's worried about the baby's health, stress of being a single mother of two children, two and under. She assumed she'd be able to go with them to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So she signed a piece of paper and said, here, you can go along. But then Georgia told her it was impossible for her to go along. And she's like, I had this weird feeling, but you have to just trust somebody.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, Alma had gone to the children's ward at the hospital to see her daughter, Irma. And there she found Irma jumping up and down in her hospital bed and happy as can be. Woo! Okay. But when she told the nurse she wanted to see the baby, the nurse said, "You don't have a baby in there. Those children belong to the Children's Home Society." Over the, and then so that she's like shut down, like completely.
Oh my God.
So like this immediately within the next day, like her record was being replaced. Like her newborn baby girl who's quote unquote jumping, which we know is not true. She's probably kicking and happy and moving her legs. But so Alma is told, no, these children that are all in this room are the home society. You don't have a child in there.
Oh my God. The panic that would just tear
through me. So she's trying to get a hold of Georgia. Yeah. You know, she left her number with her and whatnot. She's trying to get a hold of her. And it took several days to get a hold of her.
Wow.
When she finally did, she talked to Georgia, and Georgia had told her that Irma, the newborn baby, had died. She died of pneumonia, is what she told her. When she wanted to make arrangements for the burial, Tan told her, "I took it on upon myself, and the state put her away."
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, and thanks for reaching out and being impossible to get a hold of and let me know that my kid died. Like,
correct.
What?
Yep. So at this point, Alma just, she's in hysterics. She goes basically out of her mind for the next several years.
The way that I would go to fucking jail, like the way that I would go feral. This is infuriating. Anyway, yes. I'm sorry. Continue.
And I mean, even also, and how much was the hospital involved? You know, I don't know. But again, Georgia's got people behind her falsifying documents, falsifying records. Yeah, yep. You're doing the money movement. Yep. Like, how much were they paid to keep quiet? Exactly. Who knows? So for the children in her care, such as Irma, Alma's daughter, again, we've mentioned how they were mistreated, reports of neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and often murder. No housing facilities. The society had children awaiting placement in public facilities and in foster homes. And as mentioned in part one, that Memphis had the highest infant mortality rate in the nation, mainly due to Georgia Tan and their unhealthy living situations.
I'm just like floored that the way this woman sees children and babies as just like a commodity to have ownership over, a commodity to sell.
And how she's got like her eyes and ears everywhere.
Yeah.
Because Alma was only in Memphis for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And she found.
And then boom.
And
she
heard, "I don't have money to," and she saw this woman who was living in a small space, and she just immediately, like a leech, just sunk her fucking suckers into this woman. Children are human beings. Yeah. They are beautiful. They are such a blessing to the people that have them.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that don't know or realize or appreciate that, like I don't.
Or use them as a pawn or a way to get money.
And trade them like commodities.
Mm-hmm.
I will never in my entire existence understand. It is beyond.
I'm
it is
with you,
completely
girl.
Beyond.
Absolutely.
It's so callous and just.
So to describe the home a little bit, the home was donated by a wealthy businessman. Like he thought he was doing a great, you know, thing by here. I'm going to donate this home to the society. It can be the orphanage. They had all the offices and stuff on the bottom, the first floor. It looked really nice from the outside. Then it's like, well, what's really going on?
Mm-hmm.
So they had all the nurseries and other rooms upstairs. It was an all-female staff. They all wore all white nursing uniforms again, but they're not really nurses.
Mm-hmm.
They're mostly untrained and substance abusers.
Nice. Wow. Okay, cool. Yep. Cool.
The children were also sometimes frequently sedated.
My God.
And those who were challenging were allowed to die of malnutrition. That's how they
just don't feed
got
them
rid
until
of
they
the
die.
Problem children.
Oh,
or
my God.
If they were to have,
oh, my God.
If they're having events going on in the first floor of the home to keep the loud ones quiet, that's when they would sedate them.
I hate this.
It's a horror house. It's an
this
absolute
is the worst.
Horror house.
This is some nightmarish, absolute bullshit. This is ridiculous.
It was often when any advice that was given to about the children by doctors, many of those recommendations went ignored. They were denying them care for medicine, and many of their deaths were preventable. Clearly, I'm not even going to say many, probably all.
All of them, probably.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some of her victims are known to be buried in Elmwood Cemetery in Memphis, Tennessee, but many of the children that died are unaccounted for. There's an estimate that about 500 deaths of children due to the mistreatment and the neglect.
100.
Yes. But we don't know the exact number.
And these poor parents, never really knowing exactly what happened to their kids, told some lie.
Correct.
You know, if
anything. So, as mentioned before, they weren't exactly illegal at this time, but they were mostly ethically and morally wrong. However, within this situation, by the late 1940s was really when the investigation was going into place into these adoptions. They found support in public orphanage that were making few of their residents available for adoption. By this time in the late 40s, Tan was also the head of the Adopted Children's Association of America. So she's climbing herself higher and higher.
It is insane.
To make it look like what she's doing is legit.
I mean, it helps when you have like very high authority and like high government officials like in your back pocket. But correct. It's just, this is how far, how high, this is like, this reminds me of Larry Nassar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the abuse and the crap that he put people through, and he just kept climbing
going
the ranks,
going
up and up because nobody wanted to question him. Nobody right. wanted to come forward. Nobody wanted to.
And the
to...
only ones that were again, young children.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Like, oh, no, you must be mistaken.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
So in September of 1950, the investigation was actually launched on September 11th. They were receiving reports that the agency was selling children for profit. No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Taylor, who's been mentioned before, was assigned to the case. And then 2 days later, the story was published in the media nationwide. So that was on September 13th.
Okay.
They're estimating that, with the story that was announced to the public that at the time was that they had accused Georgia and all of her cohorts of receiving as much as $1 million in profit in the 1950s.
Now, and that's a lot. That's a lot these days. I mean, that's probably $3 or $4 million now.
Totally. Mm-hmm. For sure. So the irony here that really sucks, I'm going to just say. So within days of this going public, Georgia Tan passes away from uterine cancer.
Oh,
so
that bitch.
It barely just came out. She doesn't have any time to reap what she sowed with the media, face any legal charges, nothing.
That is really upsetting, actually.
Yes. It was approximately 3 days before they were going to file charges. So,
sucks.
Yep.
I really wanted to see her.
Rotten hell?
Rotten hell, yes, and
rotten
I'm sure that's
hell?
Exactly what she's doing, but I wanted her to spend some miserable years in jail, and I wanted her
to get beaten and malnourished,
and I wanted her to be kept in a little box, and I wanted her to not be able to see her family.
Mm-hmm. And with one hole for breathing.
Yes.
If that.
That's what I want. Oh, sucks.
So about 3 months after she had passed away, the state of Tennessee had sued Georgia Tan's estate for $500,000. It was settled out of court, with Georgia's beneficiaries, which were likely her two children, mm-hmm. her child that she had adopted, and they were able to get, they were able to sue in two thirds of her $82,000 estate. Went to the Tennessee Children's Home Society. So they were trying to sue greater than whatever estate, but
yeah.
They got, so they were giving that to the society. But inevitably in the same year, so within those few months, the Children's Home Society was closed in 1950.
Okay.
Shut down, no more. So it's estimated, the potential estimation is over 5,000 children.
Oh my God, 5,000.
Yep. New York and California, when they were brought into this, knowing that there was a lot of children that were basically mm-hmm. trafficked there, mm-hmm. They vowed to take action, but they didn't really have a whole lot of it that was actually investigated. And for a while, none of the children for New York and California had been restored to their families.
Wow.
Judge Kelly was believed to be receiving bribes for ruling in Tan's favor. Yes.
Yep.
However, a 1951 report by the Tennessee Department of Public Welfare that while she had, quote unquote, failed on many occasions to aid destitute families and permitted family ties to be destroyed, she had not personally profited from the rulings.
Are you kidding?
So she resigned shortly after the start of the investigation and died in 1955 without any charges being brought against her.
Okay.
And that, that was the judge right behind
so
it.
That was frustrating. That is the one that pushed everything through and essentially made it possible for her to do all of this.
Correct. And she died as well without facing any charges.
I'm almost more pissed about that.
So while we don't know.
I'm so annoyed.
So while we don't know the exact number of children that died, we believe it to be about 500. Only 19 of the children who died at the home society due to the abuse and neglect were actually buried. Many of the other ones are unaccounted for. Jesus. And they were buried in one lot, a 14 by 13 foot lot with no headstone.
That's nice.
It was purchased by Tan at some time before 1923. And only had recorded in that lot there, just like baby Joseph, baby whatever, like just their first names, nothing else.
That's really sad.
In 2015, so 10 years ago, that cemetery where they're buried raised $13,000 to erect a monument to their memory.
This
is what it reads on the monument. In memory of the 19 children who finally rest here unmarked, if not unknown, and all of the hundreds who died under the cold, hard hand of the Tennessee Children's Home Society. Their final resting place unknown, their final peace a blessing, the hard lesson of their fate changed adoption procedures and law nationwide. End quote. So that's all on the headstone.
Wow.
So like that's anyone who is missing their child or believes that they might have been dead. Even if they're not part of the 19 that's there, they go there to remember her child. So there's so much that has come out of this, throughout the years as far as legislation. There was a book by Mazie Hugh and that makes the argument about that the implementation of social work standards in Tennessee without providing the needing funding contributed to the abuses in the system. They're saying, so this home society, the Tennessee Children's Home Society, is what led to a lot of adoption reform laws for Tennessee specifically a year after when the home closed. So it was in 1951. In 1979, the state of Tennessee adopted legislation requiring the state to assist siblings who were trying to find each other. A bill that extended the provision to birth parents did not pass through, though. Ugh. So they're allowing siblings to find each other, but not the birth parents with the adoptions. They also enacted Chapter 532 of the Tennessee Public Acts of 1966. It revised the process of obtaining adoption records by releasing them to adult adoptees from the Tennessee Home Society. Again, this is only if you were adopted from them.
Right.
So, again, birth parents can't find them, but the child, if you were an adult child that was adopted from the home society, you could try to find.
You could find your parents.
But not the other way
around. But not the other way around. Okay.
Prior to all of this starting in the 1920s, it's estimated, for example, a big city like Boston, it's estimated that the Boston's Children Aid Society only placed about 5 children per year. That's rare adoption was.
Wow.
Versus now, we literally have hundreds of children per year, about 200 children per year. There is a current Tennessee Children's Home, and it is accredited by the state of Tennessee, and it has absolutely zero connection with Georgia Tand or any of the society that she had previously operated. So if you're going to look it up now, they are not connected.
Okay.
So that is important to know, because we don't want them facing any backlash from this.
Nope.
But a little bit about her legacy, and then we're going to wrap it up with a bow of at least something good.
Okay.
So so we kind of talked about her legacy with the adoption laws right now, a little bit with Tennessee and nationwide, but in the media, it's been everywhere. I mentioned the book Before We Were Yours, and that one's fiction. But there's also a nonfiction book titled Before and After, and it's stories of real life tales of children adopted through the Children's Home Society. And so it's coming from their perspective. There was a made-for-TV film, Stolen Babies, that came out in 1993. Georgia was featured in an episode of Investigation Discovery, and it was titled Deadly Women. She was the topic of many podcast subjects. There's also a nonfiction book also out there called The Baby Thief. However, the most significant that I'm saving for last is she was the subject of an Unsolved Mysteries episode on December 13th of 1989. And it was in this episode when Alma Simple recognized Georgia Tan with her photo was shown, and they began to try to find her daughter.
Oh my God.
40 years later.
Oh my God. 40
it's
years.
Been 40 years since she gave her newborn child to take to the doctors, mm-hmm. and she was to never see her again.
My God.
All because of sitting in her chair, watching Unsolved Mysteries, and her picture flashes over the screen.
Oh my God. Lord.
So they were on over in the episode. She immediately recognized her or Georgia on the picture. She screamed. She like basically like, could you imagine me? I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Like, holy shit. So it was also encouraged during that episode. You know how they have any of those like little messages, like if you or anyone you know. Mm-hmm. So it was saying that viewers searching for their birth parents or parents looking for their children.
Pick up the phone, baby.
Were advised during the show to contact Tennessee's Right to Know. It was a volunteer agency that reunites families separated by adoption in Memphis. January 3rd, she wrote that address. 7 months later, with the help of the group, and an independent search consultant from California, she found her daughter.
Yes! Mm-hmm. I love Unsolved Mysteries.
Well, it solved that mystery for at least that one out of 5,000. And that is the final discussion.
I'm so glad she was able to reconnect with her daughter.
Of Georgia Tan.
Oh my God. I'm sad for her that that happened in the first place, but I'm glad she could reconnect.
Could you imagine?
No.
No, I couldn't imagine either.
Nope. That's totally beyond.
Question. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like infuriating.
That's depressing.
Really? Thanks a lot.
That's depressing.
Devin.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Oh. Thank you again to the Patreons or to those that sent the message, because before part one, I had nothing to talk about.
You guys are the best.
Then I dove into Georgia and I couldn't stop. So,
And here we are.
If you want to keep listening to us, you can find us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can search us on YouTube, Med Crimes Podcast.
You can check us out on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, and you can get your very own critter that's probably going to be from a book I'm reading, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
You can send us more crazy stories, ideas, suggestions, anything about a topic at medcrimes@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there. Hold on to your babies.
Don't let them go.
Don't let them go.
Bye.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off? But they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today. You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals. Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today. You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.